You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Glenn Nagy coming to you from Ocala, Florida.
And I am Kylie Hibbard from Sealing, Oklahoma, and you are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Friday, October 17th, episode 3799. This episode is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
It's Friday, and another weekend of riding is a few short hours away. Jamie and Glenn are here to help you make it through the day with some fun guests and some really bad ads. Enjoy the show.
That's right, it is Friday, and that is not Jamie you heard. That is Kylie here for her first time. Hi, Kylie.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I met Kylie on another show I do called Retail Roundup. It's for the WESA trade show, and it's a kind of a business show that I do, talking about retailers and manufacturers and business. And Kylie was one of my guests, and I said, Kylie, you are so good, you have to come back and do horses with in the morning with me sometime. I don't know
She
entirely understood what that meant, but she said yes.
They're breaking me in. We'll see if I'm good at it or not.
And actually, you're not located too far from where Jamie is, right? In Oklahoma.
Yeah. Yes, the good state of Oklahoma. We're finally experiencing a little bit of fall weather, so it's not so bad.
So how far are you from Norman from Oklahoma City?
About 2 hours.
Okay.
Close to the panhandle. Yeah.
So you're southwest of there?
Yes.
Okay. Gotcha. Very good. Well, we're going to talk more to Kylie because she has an interesting life that she lives out there in Oklahoma as well. But we do have some guests lined up for today. We have a guest that you booked who is going on 92 years old. His name is Gene Decker, and he's a retired veterinarian who has some fun stories that we're going to talk with him about, especially in the thoroughbred world at Keeneland. And he was a vet at Keeneland and things. So we're going to get him on. I can't wait to talk to him. And I am always happy when we get somebody, especially that's his age, that we get to record them so that they live on in memory in the future too.
Absolutely.
You know, it's
he has an impeccable story. Like, he is amazing. And at 92 years old, he is still going strong. So what better person to have on the show than Gene?
I hope I am as good as he is at 92.
Like, me too.
Or even make it to 92. That's I'll be happy with that.
Yeah.
And then we have one of my friends on that has been on the show before, but it's been a little while. She's an amazing equine photographer, one of the best in the industry and recognized as one of the best in the industry. Her name is Shelley Paulson. We're going to talk to her about how the photography world is right now in the equine world and what's going on there. She's also going to give us a tip on how to take better pictures of our horses. And then we're also going to see how Kylie is at really bad ads, because this is her first time doing that too.
Oh boy, here we go.
You know what's funny is I don't normally ask first-time fill-in co-host to do Friday because of really bad ads, but I thought you could handle it. You'll be fine. You're going to be good at it. So no
problem. I'm glad you have confidence in me. Either we'll make it a good laugh, or he'll not invite me back.
Oh, either way, it'll be a good laugh. So
yeah, for sure.
All right, let's do some daily winnies.
Okay.
Well, I wanted to wish a happy birthday to a couple of our auditors, Carol Carter, Linda Crew, and Chantel Williams. Happy birthday to all of you. And guess whose birthday it is? I think on Sunday, and that's Jamie Jennings, my co-host.
Oh.
Jamie's birthday is on Sunday, so be sure to bombard her with crap on her Facebook page. Just, you know, call her out. But happy birthday, partner. And, you know, I'm so glad that after all these years, we're still doing this show together. I also wanted to wish luck to everybody riding and wish for safe riding over at the Mars Maryland 5-star event is this weekend. This is only one of 2 5-star events we have in this country. The 5-star has 22 pairs, the 3-star has 55 entries, and the young event horse championships for horses, I think they're under five or six, have 68 entries. So a lot of young horses competing over there as well. So we wish them all safe weather, safe riding, and a lot of good competition in Maryland at a place that my wife used to show all the time, not at Five Star. They didn't have Five Star at Maryland.
How neat. They got a lot going on.
Yep.
I would like to give a shout out for the Daily Winnie to actually Gene and Ann Decker. Gene just told us earlier that his birthday is this week, and we all know that Ann is the woman behind this whole thing. She is an amazing woman. So thank you to both of them for their time, and we love them.
All right, good. We'll talk to Gene in just a second. But I want to first ask you about you. You live on a ranch out there in Oklahoma, right?
I do. I come from six generations of ranchers. It's kind of in my blood.
Say ranching now, I think cows, but I know not all ranches have cows anymore. There's different businesses run on ranches now. Are you a cattle ranch?
We are. We are a cow-calf operation, and so we get to do the fun part. We get to see the little cuties, and we get to have all the fun. So now, that's the best part about a ranch.
You married a rancher or did you drag him into it?
Well, a little bit of both. So we're actually kind of unique because we both have ranching on our backgrounds. And so we kind of knew, both of us knew, my husband actually worked in a feed yard to start out. And then I am one of two girls, so I'm in line to carry on the ranch. So I drug my husband here and now he gets to work with his in-laws. How great is that?
God, I hope you like him. Because
poor guy.
Now, are you living in the house, like the original house you grew up in, or?
No, we do live on property that's been in the family for a long time. So that's kind of neat. We actually have our own ranch as well. And then I help my parents ranch also. So we're kind of doing a little bit of everything.
So are they connected?
Yes. So here in Oklahoma, we have pastures real close by. We're not close enough to the parents that, you know, we got to spread it out.
They don't come over unannounced every day.
Yes.
Got it.
But close enough to help.
You know, it's interesting. So if you're a sixth generation, then that's almost back to the time where they were claiming the land from the westward rush.
Yes, we've got some neat family stories, and it's actually really, if my grandparents were still alive, I would love for them to share more about it. But there is some, it's really neat when it's generational because it's in your blood and it's a family lifestyle. So,
and
very
you
neat.
Have kids?
I do. I have one 8-year-old boy, and he thinks he's the next John Wayne.
And I assume you still use horses. You're in the horse world. I assume you still use horses on the ranch.
Yeah. So we do. We ranch. So we have ranch horses, of course. Nothing near like all the people that you have on the show. Essentially, we calf year around. So we're about to get in the winter months, which gets a little bit harder. But no, I wouldn't change it for the world. I absolutely love it.
So you are, and you're selling it for meat? That's what you're doing? That's how it works?
Yeah. So we don't do the butchering process ourselves. I like to tell it like we raise them till they're college age and then we ship them off and send them to someone else to determine that process.
So they finish them off? Yeah.
Yep.
They fatten them up and all that stuff.
Yep. So we just do the fun part.
You have babies.
Have them out. Yeah. So it's so much fun. We actually just found we move cattle. So you have to be real careful all the time when you move pasture land to not leave any babies behind. And they're so cute, but they're feisty as well.
You know, it's funny. They say that cows are some of the most dangerous animals and people don't realize it.
They've ran me up a fence so many times.
Sure, I'm sure.
They're cute, but they don't want you close to their calves.
So you see your son getting into this? He's into it?
Oh, yes. We live in the middle of a pasture. When someone thinks a ranch, we have the ideal place, I guess you could say, for us, because we're right in the middle of cattle. So we hear him every night, we see him every day. And so he's in it. And whether he likes it or not, that's part of his life. So I think he'll get used to it.
So we're all picturing Dorothy on the farm, right? With the windmill and the whole thing. Please tell me you have a windmill by the house.
Oh, I do. Good observation.
I love this.
Yeah.
This is a postcard.
Yes. You get so used to it, you don't really think any different. But yep, we're a traditional Oklahoma ranch, and you take it for granted, but there's so many blessings on living on a ranch. So
okay, so one of the blessings of living where you do is tornadoes. And Jamie, when she built her farm and Norman, she would not go into the underground bunker because there were spiders, so she would not go. She would rather die.
So she's brave.
She wouldn't do it. So when they built their new house, right behind the kitchen, they had the pantry built into a safe room. All concreted and the whole thing. So her theory was, if she has to go in there because of storms, at least there's food. Right?
Yeah.
So yeah, no spiders.
Smart woman. Yeah.
So do you guys have the underground?
We do. And hopefully someday when we build a house, we can do what she does. Cause I agree with her. Mine's not spiders. Mine's snakes. I don't like snakes.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to be stuck during a tornado down there with a copperhead. I mean,
yeah. For sure.
Do you find where you live? Well, it's been bad this year for Texas, you know, Texas, especially with hail and everything. Has your weather been bad this summer?
We've actually had a really great year. The grass is still green and we've had so much rainfall, and maybe it's just our location, but yeah, it's been actually an excellent year.
Knock
I hate to
something.
Brag about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, grass is still green. We're not feeding hay yet. We'll start feeding hay when the nutrients, the grass come out, but you know, we've been doing pretty good. I'm not a huge hay season person because it's more work.
But
we've had a good year.
Good. You know, knock on wood, here in Florida, we haven't had a hurricane this year either, knock on wood. Season's not over yet, but it's getting close. So we're hoping.
That's intense.
Be the first one probably since I lived here 12 years ago that we haven't had one hit Florida. So, yeah. So good. We'll both take our good luck. And I want to talk to you more later in the show about what you do for a living, because that's how I met you. And it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
And you have a following too. So we'll chat about that a little bit later in the show. But first, is your horse suffering from digestive tract issues such as diarrhea, colic, or hindgut imbalances? Does he need a high-grain diet? Is he under stress? Nalox Advanced can help. Nalox Advanced is a scientifically formulated blend of ingredients that works to maintain a healthy stomach, small intestine, and hindgut. It contains long-acting gastric buffers and coating agents to maintain a normal stomach pH. It provides an effective probiotic to support complete digestion of starch and sugars in the foregut, which helps the hindgut. And it supplies a broad-spectrum prebiotic to sustain a healthy balance of beneficial microbes. For more information, visit kppusa.com, kppusa.com for all of their terrific products. And I swear she sent me this so that I would have to read this ad and all the big words. So they know how good a reader I am. So they sent me this, I guarantee you. They've been a sponsor of ours since we started 15 years ago. And she does it just to mess with me, I think. But there are terrific products. Jamie and I both have a bunch of them in our barn. Well, next up is one of the first people I met after we started this whole podcast thing like 18 years ago. I think we met at an AHP conference. I am not quite sure. She's one of the most respected photographers in the equine world with over 20 years experience as both a master photographer and a lifelong horsewoman. Shelley captures powerful visuals and truly resonates with horse owners. And she's helped major brands like Nutrina, Triple Crown, and Farnam. She's done it all in the photography world, and we absolutely love her. She's won a bunch of awards as well. This is Shelley Polson. Hey, Shelley.
Hey, Glenn. It's so nice to be here.
Yes, good to have you back. I think it's been a while. So
Yeah. I think I was on the heels of Iceland, which was like 2022 or one or something.
Yeah, we need to get you back more often.
I agree. I would like that.
So, Shelley, you've been doing this thing as long as I have. What's the most satisfying thing that you've taken away from 20 years as being a professional photographer? And I want to see if it's the same thing that I've taken away from being a podcaster.
I would say it would be connections with horse people.
There it is. That's mine too.
And having a job in the horse industry.
That's mine too, is the people. My answer is always the people. And I thought it would be yours too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what we do, if it wasn't for other people loving horses as much as we do, we wouldn't have a job.
And I'm sure, like me, your best friends and your friends now either are journalists or fellow photographers or clients that you've had over the years.
100%. I'm trying to think if I have friends outside the horse industry
anymore.
Yeah,
we don't. It's so funny, though, how that works over the years. I guess that's true of anybody in any industry, though, right?
I don't know. I feel like horses are more encompassing than most industries, you know, especially, you know, in situations like mine where my horses live on my property. And, you know, I feel like if you don't have horses, you don't quite understand. And so it's hard to maintain those friendships long term with people that, you know, just don't know the level of commitment and obsession that it takes to be in this industry.
That's true. You know, we have another couple that we travel with that isn't into horses, but we travel great together, you know, because there's very few people you can travel on vacation with, right? Where you all get along and it just is comfortable. But it's funny that they're not horse people. And I guess that comes from me being a horse husband, not wanting to talk about horses on vacation. So that's...
Wife is probably, you and your wife are probably like, oh, finally we can like think about something else and talk about something else.
Yeah. Even her on vacation, sometimes she's like, oh, I just don't want to deal with another. I don't want to see a horse on vacation.
Yeah.
So, you know, equine photography, well, photography in general has changed so much over the years, especially with everybody now thinking they're a professional photographer with a cell phone. And I know that's affected your industry, but you know, what have you had to do to adapt to that? You know, in the beginning, it was okay because there was a line, right?
Yes.
And now that line is blurred. We all think we're great at it. I know I'm not, but everybody thinks we're half decent at it. Why do we need a professional anymore?
Well, it's a complex layered question, as you know, questions go. But when you're talking about horses, there's really a very specific quote unquote proper way to photograph horses so they don't look distorted. And so I feel like I have an advantage over just like simply people photographers or product photographers, because horses require a different level of skill to photograph well, to get the expression right, to get the poses right. You can't do that with a cell phone. That said, on the commercial side of the business, which is really where I focus, there's more desire for user-generated content. So like, you know, a sponsored rider or, you know, somebody that uses your products makes a video and it's very casual and the horse doesn't have to look perfect. And that is corner of the industry that's not requiring professional skills that companies are doing on their own. And, you know, influencers and content creators have created a whole new category for themselves as a result.
Well, and you know, I think one of the things that we never get right as amateur photographers is lighting.
Oh yeah.
We think we do, but we don't. And understanding lighting is so difficult, actually.
It is, and I feel like it's the one thing that really, really sets my work apart from most others. And it's not, I don't have a complicated set of rules, but I have a very specific set of rules that I follow when it comes to lighting that just consistently gives me really clean, emotive, beautiful images. And really, that's mostly just having my subject between me and the sun.
I noticed you posted recently on your LinkedIn about the fall being a good time for professional photography. I assume that has to do, one, with color, obviously, if you live in a place where the trees are changing, but also lighting.
Yeah, the light is cleaner this time of year. Generally, there's less humidity in the atmosphere. I'm also an amateur meteorologist because I have to be as a photographer. I follow all these weather accounts. And
I live in Florida. I have to be one, too, just for practical reasons.
Just to live there, right? Yeah. But also, I think this time of year, at least, you know, up here in Minnesota, the horses' coats are already changing because our days are shorter than, you know, anywhere. Places south of here. But the true color of the horse comes back in this time of year. Like your black horses have started to shed their summer faded coats and they're black again. And, you know, those rich chestnuts are coming back in, the rich bay coats are like I have a little 4-year-old Morgan, not so little anymore, but her dapples show up for winter. She's not very dappled in the summer, but when winter comes, her dapples show up. And I noticed them arriving in late August this year.
Huh. Oh, that's interesting. You know, Kylie, you have to think about lighting in a different way. Kylie does marketing, and she also is, I hate the word influencer, but
yeah.
I don't know, I have a different
me
word.
Me too.
I don't have a different word, right? I mean, people call me one too, and I am definitely not. But it's something you do a lot of video, even on self-video and live video and stuff, and it's something you have to think about, right?
Lighting. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I'm nowhere near Shelley's level. You're you have a gift. And that's what I think. You asked the difference between content creators and professional photographers. She truly has a gift, and that's what's going to make a difference. You can line people up to give a review of a product, but there's a gift that you have, and it's truly amazing. You guys definitely need to check out her work. It's so talented.
Oh, thank you, Kylie. I appreciate that. Hard work equals gift.
Yeah.
But, you know, doing this, I often say, you know, anybody could be a podcast host. You're gifted to have a certain talent and aptitude for doing this well. And I think that's true of anything anybody does professionally. So I'm not sure that I could ever be, with a lot of practice, as good as you, Shelley, because part of it's just an art. And I think that comes from being an artistic person.
Yeah, I mean, there's some books out there, one's called The Myth of Talent, that would say that it's really all about refining the craft. But I also am like, I'm never going to be an NBA or, you know, WNBA
basketball.
I was never destined for that. I think, like, the way my brain works, I have a really good balance between left and right brain. And photography is both technical and an art. So you can have like this vision and be this really artistic person, but if you cannot figure out the technical side
the
of things,
and then, on the damn camera, like I have a very professional camera and I still have no idea what all those buttons do.
What you're doing with the buttons. Exactly. Plus the editing side of things, you have to be able to learn software and implement it and be able to like move all the sliders around and everything to get the end result that you were going for. And so I do think that the fact that I have this left right brain agility is part of why I've been really good at what I do, because before I was even a photographer, I was doing tech support for Apple computers. And then I learned web design, and then I learned photography. And so I kind of like slowly moved from a more technical career to a more artistic career. And that I think you have to have both sides of that to really excel at photography. And then don't even get me started on the fact that you also have to learn to run a small business.
Well, yeah. Well,
absolutely.
That's what kills a lot of us, right?
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. I often wonder, do most pro photographers, let's say in the equine world, do most pro photographers make money, their most money from events, or is it private shoots, or is it half and half?
It really depends. I actually did a post recently. I have a educational accounts on Facebook and Instagram, just under Shelley Paulson Education. And I did a post about how pretty much if you want to be full-time as an equine photographer, you have to diversify. Because most people are, unless they want to be in Florida for the whole winter and then be in Michigan for the whole summer, like, you know, young people who have that kind of flexibility, but you have to have multiple income streams. So that might mean that you're a portrait photographer and you do some product photography, or you might be an event photographer, but you also do portraits on the side. And so, you know, the problem is equine photography is very seasonal for most of the country. Horses grow winter coats. Most people don't want to stand out in 20 degree weather and be cold while they're having their photos done. And so like, even like I have a friend and she has a design business, like logos and all that kind of stuff that she does on the side. And so it's a tough industry to just say, oh, this is the one way to do it. It's really more that you have to find the right mix of things in order to make it like a full-time or even like a really profitable part-time business.
So I noticed that on LinkedIn, you have something called the Pegasus Circle. What is that?
That is my membership. So when I started in 2020, before the pandemic, offering online like cohort-based courses. So courses where I'm actually involved in the teaching and involved in giving people feedback. And when that first one ended, people are like, yeah, but we want to keep learning from you. So I created a membership called Pegasus Circle and continued mentoring and teaching people. And then that original mentorship morphed into what I call my wings mentorship, because it's all kind of based on this idea of Pegasus and growing and gaining your wings and all of that. And so every year after wings, then people have had the option to join the membership and continue their learning journey with me. And this is the first year I've opened it up to people who have not been through my membership. So people can join Pegasus Circle, even if they haven't been through one of my programs. And it's a really, I love it because there's a really nice small community where people are helping each other. It's not just all me helping people, but now it's them helping each other. And I do a tutorial in the group every week. And then that tutorial becomes part of a resource library that now has like over 100 videos and presets and things. And so it's just a way for me to continue to raise up the next generation. I am like 10 years from retirement at this point, and I can't keep it all to myself. I need to pass what I've learned and what I know on to the next generation so that there can be more, a bit of a legacy in what I've done and what I've learned.
Well, Shelley, wow. I said that 10 years ago and I'm still here. So
I know. There's like no real
good
retirement,
luck with that.
I guess. When you're self-employed.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's awesome. Well, I have a question about that. Where can someone find part of that? Or where can we find, if you were interested in that, can you tell us where you could find that?
Yeah, it's just ShelleyPaulsonEducation.com. And there's awesome. A website with all sorts of things that I offer, standalone classes and the membership and upcoming mentorships and workshops and all of that.
That's great.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead. She's not only a talent, but you're also a teacher, which is very rare. So you have something going that's extremely rare.
Oh, thank you. Both of my parents were educators. My dad was actually a high school assistant principal, and then he was a professor for many years. So I do think, you know, going back to the gift talent thing, I think it's in my blood somehow.
So do they have to be pros to join, or can you be an amateur photographer? Who joins Pegasus?
Yeah, you can be an amateur photographer. I say passionate amateur, because if you're just starting and you don't even know what the buttons on your camera
like
do,
me.
I recommend going through mm-hmm. the Wings mentorship first so that you can learn what the buttons do. And then after that, joining the membership.
Got it. Okay. So if you were to give one piece of advice to us, the amateur photographers, on taking pics of our horses, what would it be? I don't care about let's take the camera out of the picture, whatever one they're using.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So whether you have your cell phone, your point and shoot, or your, you know, $5,000 SLR mirrorless, the number one thing, and you hinted toward it earlier, Glenn, is prioritize light over location. When I did that, when I went from thinking, oh, this is a pretty spot, I don't care if the light is horrible, to the only good spots are ones in good light, it completely transformed my photography, and it continues to be the thing that sets me apart today, and it will do the same for you.
Yeah, and when you look at Shelley's wow. pictures, as Kylie said, you can tell light. You use shadows so effectively, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, I know that's what you work on, and that's what you strive for, but when you look at your pictures, it is there. You see it.
I always say light is a main character. It's not just a supporting character. It's a main character in my work.
All right. There you go. You heard it from Shelley. What was the website again, Shelley?
ShelleyPaulsonEducation.com.
Thanks for joining us again. We'll have you back sooner
yeah.
next time.
As horse owners, we have an unlimited supply of love for our animals, but we tend to underestimate the cost of their care. Routine and unexpected expenses can quickly add up, making it hard to keep pace. Wouldn't it feel great to always be prepared with a budget-friendly way to manage these costs? The Care Credit Health and Animal Care Credit Card can give you that financial peace of mind. With flexible financing from Care Credit, you can get the care your horse needs and then pay over time and easy monthly payments. You can use Care Credit at the more than 25,000 veterinary hospitals that accept the card, and use it to pay for everything from diagnostics and surgery to wellness exams and routine care. Care Credit, it's your card for a lifetime of care, subject to credit approval. To learn more and apply, visit carecredit.com/vetmed.
Coming up next is your guest, and a reminder, he is 92, so we're going to talk to him about some of the amazing adventures he's had, especially in racing over the years.
Today we have Gene Decker sitting here by his amazing wife, Anne. Gene is a retired veterinarian and has several amazing stories. He has spent his life helping animals and providing for his family, which comes with some pretty amazing stories. I can't wait to hear all about this. I'm so glad that Gene's joining us. I want you to tell me a little bit about one of your favorite memories while you were practicing, or if you have any good, funny stories, let's hear about those.
Well, okay. I was called up to Fort Supply one day and for a horse that got, I don't remember now what happened to him, but he, but he was in pretty bad shape. Anyway, the school bus, it was about 4 o'clock or so, and the school bus came. They lived out in the country, and it stopped about halfway up the driveway, which was a long driveway. And so I asked the guy I was working that with there, you know, if we needed to go down and check on and see. And he said, no, it's not my mule. He's laid down in front of the bus and stopped it. And then he ran around to the end of it on that back end. And so anyway, he says, the guy and laid down again. And so
the I mule said, laid down in front of the bus, Gene?
Yeah. And he stopped the bus and he ran around to the back of the bus. And the guy said he's smelling fumes. And the bus and the exhaust. And so anyway, they came on in finally, and I finished my work and I was going to the driveway, and I heard something thumpity thump thump, like I rolled over something, and I stopped, and that donkey was down smelling the fumes of my pickup. So he stopped everybody, man. I guess.
You're knocking out animals, God, left and right.
The donkey was getting high on fumes. It was
Oh, that's great. You have some amazing adventures. You had mentioned, though, besides your funny stories, you had also mentioned how big of an impact you made in your industry. I am blessed. I get to go to church with this couple, and Decker is here beside him, and they are just an amazing family. But you also mentioned that you had doctored horses for the West Nile when it broke out.
I was telling you about the horse business is almost totally gone now. That far as thoroughbreds. Then the thoroughbred business got so expensive for the ordinary person. I spent 10 years after I had a heart attack going to sales at Keeneland, Kentucky, Lexington, and buying babies and feeding them out for a year and then taking them back to the sale and selling them. And that was probably the most satisfactory thing I did in the practice.
Any of those baby thoroughbreds ever turn out to be mega winners that you had?
Yeah.
I had
a couple of stakes winners in the ones I bought. We didn't buy the most expensive, for sure. We kept in the 30,000 up to, I think the highest price one I bought was 100. They've gotten a lot higher.
Yeah. Now you watch the auctions and it's a million plus, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
First week, they don't hardly sell a horse under 500,000. They just,
wow.
And some of them go as high as 3,000 to 4,000.
Do you still?
A million, I mean.
Did you follow the horses that you sold after you sold them back? Did you follow them doing their races and things?
It was kind of hard because there were so many of them, and you'd have to have a lot of thoroughbred magazines and books to keep up. And so I did follow one of them that made 500,000, and he raced us, especially in the Midwest. And I didn't have any go to Kentucky, and especially the Derby. And they were cheap horses compared to a lot of them that sold and that we bought. And so it was fun for me, and it was quite an experience. You had to Some of them are double what you thought they'd bring, and some of them wasn't so much, but they usually, those horses that go in the $40,000 to $50,000 range, which we bought a lot of them that did that, they'd race in the cheaper races, and so we didn't have really a lot of stakes winners in it, but we had, I had probably, I'd buy up to 5 or 6 a year and then take them back and sell them. And most of them won races, but not anything real big.
You don't have to answer this if you don't want to. Do you think you ended up making money? Or we always joke on this show that you don't make money in horses, right?
Well, it depends on where you go and how expensive a trainer. They're getting $75 to $100 a day.
Yeah.
Now, and then the feed bills are enormous compared to what they were even in the 90s. So it's changed a lot.
Thank you, Gene. We really appreciate it. You've been excellent to have on the show. Thank you. We just thank you for your expertise. And I know you've had a lot of experience. So thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Whether you're hauling to a show, heading to a clinic, or just clocking highway miles, fuel costs add up fast. U.S. Rider Diesel Savings, powered by Open Roads, can save you up to 50 cents per gallon at thousands of gas stations across the country. High mileage drivers could save more than $700 a year. It's free to join, and as a gift from U.S. Rider, you'll get free priority processing when you sign up. Head to myopenroads.com/USRider to start saving today.
Well, Kylie, before we get to really bad ads, I met you because of your business. Tell everybody what you do.
Yeah, so I am a Western fashion content creator, and I share a little bit about my lifestyle. I have been doing this full time for 2 years, but it's been a neat experience. I am getting to use my background and connect mainly with women, and I help them find really good deals and a cute pair of cowgirl boots.
You are the best dressed of the two of us, that's for sure.
Oh, well, thanks. So, I appreciate that.
So now, do you help specific brands, or do you just, you know, how do you work your gig?
Yeah, so it's kind of the Wild West. It kind of just depends between the brand and me. It just has to be mutually beneficial. But yeah, it's been interesting because some brands that I've been really surprised to work with, I've had the opportunity to work with Wrangler and Boot Barn and get to go to the NFR and do some neat things. And then I've also had the opportunity to work with Walmart and Amazon. So it's kind of all over the place. And that's what I really, really enjoy about it.
And did you fall into the whole content creation, or do you have a background in marketing?
No, I don't have a back. I wish I had a background in marketing. No, I just kind of always enjoyed watching other people do it. And then I'm like, you know what? There is money behind content creation. And so kind of just dug deep into it. And now I'm here. And I had 6 years of college and I'm not using an ounce of it,
but that's all right. Very few of us ever do.
That's all right. I've had more fun doing this and creating content. And yeah, I go by Shop With Me Cowgirl. So I'd love for everybody to connect. I enjoy just connecting with people on all social medias.
Is it best on Instagram, or is there one you favor of others?
Not really. Okay. I connect. All of them have been great. So whether you have Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, and we're working on YouTube based on our one episode. So absolutely just love connecting with women and sharing deals and hopefully get you a nice pair of cowgirl boots.
Your videos are fun too. You get it. I mean, you get that they have to be entertaining in order for people to keep coming back, right?
Absolutely.
Because they're not coming. They are coming back for your content, but they're also coming back because they like you. So I don't get to talk to content creators too often about this. And I'm sure there's people listening right now that either think they could be one or are wanting to try being one or trying being one. It doesn't pay money immediately, does it? It's something you have to work for and develop an audience.
Yeah, I always tell people, if you don't just love doing it, then I don't think this is the job for you. It's not a get quick rich scheme. You're going to put all your...
By the way, podcasting isn't either, Kylie. I'm just throwing that out there.
Oh, man. I think I'm going to have to go now. Nothing is. And then they can see right through it. You're building a community. And if you're really just building friendships and networking. And Shelly talked a little bit about that, about networking. So that's pretty much what it is. If you enjoy that, then I say jump for it and see what you can do.
It's all about engaging your community too, whether that's through the comments or however that is, right? And that's something I think that we have done pretty well here, especially at this show, is, you know, engaging the community, getting to know them. Now, you know, we have our Patreon community, our auditor group, which is about 600 strong, that, you know, we feel like we know them, you know, because we see them all the time in their Facebook group. We see them commenting. We talk to them personally. So that's so, so important, but it's very time consuming. Plan on spending a lot of time engaging the community, and especially at the beginning, because you don't have much of a community, which means you have to engage them even more.
Absolutely. And if you're not building relationships, if it doesn't work if one side's involved and the other side's not. So you have to build those relationships and connect with people. And that's the fun part. Like, I'm like, if you don't want to connect with people, this probably isn't the job for you. And you guys do a great job of it. And you have such a loyal background. And it's so neat to watch it all come to life. And then you have so many episodes because of that.
Well, and you too, and what you do, I mean, you have followers. I mean, we call them followers, right? But
yeah.
But actually they're part of your community. They're actually more of a community. Now you get how do you handle the negative people? Do you just ignore them? Do you just...
Some days.
That's hard when you first start out is to ignore the negative people. Jamie's still not good at that.
Yeah, you just have to remember that they're probably coming from a place of, they're not confident where they're at. So clearly, if they were confident where they at, they wouldn't feel the need to talk about
or
you.
Or have the time to talk about you.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm always amazed by that. I'm like, where do you get this time?
Yeah. How do you have time to make comments on all these posts when I don't have time to make the posts. So
yeah. Especially mean ones. It takes a lot of work to think of mean things.
I think for those people, it doesn't take a lot of work. It just comes.
Oh yeah, probably.
You know, when we owned the acting company, that was before social media. Thank God. I think we owned the acting company and did shows. We would get letters. That was in the days that they would write to you after the show. And we always said, and this is true of any improv theater I've done or acting I've done, or even this, right, is 80% will love what you do. 20% aren't going to like what you do no matter what you do. They're just not going to like you. And I don't know that those numbers have changed a whole lot over the years. The problem is you hear from the 20%, you very seldom hear from the 80%.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's what makes it difficult in your, you know, for your ego.
Oh yeah. And you got to, at the end of the day, one thing I recommend is don't go looking for it, because there's no, spend your time. I saw something that said, if you're wasting your time looking for the bad, you're wasting your time creating content. So spend your time doing instead of researching what people think about, and then you don't have time to worry about what they're doing and thinking.
On the other side of that, if I was in court right now with you, I would say, but don't ignore some of the comments. We have definitely, we have a focus group that comments on every episode we do. So we take a look at those comments, and, you know, sometimes we agree with them, sometimes we don't, but that's okay. Right. But if I see the same comment coming up over and over again about something they want changed in the show, or something they're finding boring or whatever, or really good that we did once, then I'll go, okay, maybe we need to do that again, or not, or do this a different way. You do have to listen if there's a theme to the comments.
Yeah. And that's how you grow. Like, totally, you are going to grow if you listen to feedback. Not all feedback is going to make you feel good, but it will help you grow one way or another.
When we started podcasting, we were one of the first. We were making this up. We basically made this up because there were no rules. There was nobody knew how to do this. We were all kind of figuring it out. And you and your world, you know, the world of, again, I don't want to use the word influencer, but content creator. In the world of content, you're making it up. There are really no rules. There are things that work better than others, but there are also people that have broken all the rules and have millions of followers.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I do think I should go back. When you really do have to listen to your audience, that will allow you to grow or not. And if no one's reacting, then that's probably not what you're good at. And they don't want to.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. It's really interesting. It's really truly a community. Everything you do, we do, it's all about the community, or we wouldn't have a job and it wouldn't be fun.
Well, congratulations on your success. You deserve it.
Thank you.
I could not do what you do because I do not look good in cowboy boots. I just don't.
Oh, so. we'll bring you on. We'll make it happen.
I don't look good in skirts either, so there's that.
Darn.
All right, let's do some really bad ads.
Okay.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader. Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
That's right. It's time for really bad ads. That time of the week when listeners submit ads from Craigslist or Facebook or someplace, and we just have a little bit of fun with them. And we give away prizes every month, and the following products are provided by horselovers.com, home to over 120,000 products for your barn, horse, or you. Check them out at horseloverswithaz.com. And this month, we have one prize package. It's an Amigo Close Contact Saddle Pad in a bramble color, which, by the way, I had to look that up. When I say bramble, what do you think of color-wise?
I have no idea.
I didn't
what color
either.
Is it?
I thought, is it blue? It's green.
Oh, well, that'll be pretty.
I always thought brambles were brown, but I don't know. So anyway, it's green. So it's a close contact saddle pad in bramble color and cobber horse size with a matching Amigo ear net. Total package is worth $70. The Amigo close contact saddle pad combines durability, breathability, and comfort to ensure the best performance for your horse. Made from a hard-wearing poly cotton material, this saddle pad is designed for long-lasting use. The cool mesh lining promotes air circulation, keeping your horse cool and comfortable during those long rides in the summertime or the wintertime. So we're going to give that away at the end of the month.
Awesome.
Now, this is Kylie's first time doing this, but Kylie, we always get a lot more ads than we have time for. So Susan, Nicole, Debbie, Lindsay, Michelle, Rosemary, Amy, and Kayla are all entered in for the contest for the month for the prize, but we won't have time to get to all of those this week. Keep them coming, though. We'll eventually get to yours. So let's do Lindsay. Lindsay sent this one in. I don't know where it's from. It doesn't really say. This kind of looks Craigslist-ish. So do you still look at Craigslist at all?
Do I? Yeah. No, actually, I don't.
Yeah,
but
you know,
this
it's
is fantastic.
I haven't looked at Craigslist in so long.
Yeah.
All right. Lindsay sent this one in. Kid broke, husband broke, infant broke, grandma broke. Two-ish year old fancy bred custom-made spotted big girl. It's two and it's broke for grandma?
Oh, no.
That's a surprise. It's big boned, and I would say, looking at the picture, this is big boned for sure.
Yeah.
She's big boned, all natural, no filler. Probably runs a 1D pattern. I don't know about patterns, so I don't know what that means exactly. Hypoallergenic, colic free breed of draft doodle. Yeah, okay. Olympic athlete, beatboxes.
Wow.
Rope horse deluxe. We'll catch anything if you throw good enough. Well, you can say that about any rope horse. Listen, she isn't going to buck Kid Rock. She isn't going to buck Kid Rock.
Hmm.
I don't know
this person's pretty,
yeah,
pretty good at riding.
I don't know what that means. You're going to be a cowboy baby. Trained by H.R. Block to do taxes. Registered Democrat. Lives off Pabst and tree bark.
And the picture, this is a winner.
Above the picture, it says, she knows the winning lottery numbers. First sale, not on sale. I know what I got. So there you go.
That's a description.
And it's a paint horse that's very fat, that has a Western saddle that with all matching tack, of course. But she looks quiet. She's just standing there hanging out.
Yeah.
But for two to be infant broke,
Sure. There's a lot of promises in this one.
Yeah, there is. There's a lot of promises.
An Olympic athlete. That's pretty impressive.
And everybody that's allergic to horses would like to meet the hyperallergenic one. Yeah. And the colic-free one.
I love it.
All right, Faye has the next one.
Yeah, Faye, she said, looking for broke, or green broke. Under $1,000, please. Just want something to teach my husband to ride.
Does your husband want to know how to ride?
Yeah,
is my question.
Poor guy.
She's forcing him into it. You know it. And I got to tell you, if I was buying a horse for the husband, I wouldn't be looking for the cheapest one.
Yeah. I think we might should know what the husband did.
Yes.
First.
Does your husband ride?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mine does, yes. He used to work in the feed yard all the time, so he rides, but I don't think he wants me buying him a horse.
Not for under $1,000.
Yeah.
You know, it used to be you could get a half-decent horse for under $1,000, not anymore. No.
Yeah, now it's kind of scary.
This one is trying to kill her husband, what she's trying to do. She's aiming for the life insurance policies, what she's going for.
Oh, Charlotte, better check the news.
My friend Charlotte sent this one in. Oh, my God. It's horse buggy, 1/2 horses, $1,500. Let me read the description that will describe it. Comes with pools. Can accommodate 1/2 horses, very solid. Cup holders and brake. You can go golfing if your horses were allowed on the golf course. So this is a picture of apparently a horse carriage that's been modified from a golf cart. They actually modified a golf cart to make a horse carriage, and it kind of looks golf cartish, actually.
It does. And my favorite part is there's cup holders. That's fantastic.
I know. You don't have those on your horse.
So, no.
This comes with official car seats, the whole thing. I mean,
yeah,
it's kind of cute in a way, and it has a roof. It looks to be in pretty good shape for $1,500. I don't see the tongue, so I don't know exactly how you hook up the horses.
Maybe by the tail.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, for $1,500, I'd consider this just to run around. It'd be fun. I wonder if there are brakes.
Yeah.
On. Yeah.
I think it's a woman that wrote it because she's all about the cup holders and the brakes.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly. Oh. All right. Next, we have Kaylee. This one is an interesting one. Saving Grace Animal Rescue. Meet the antidepressants. So we're about to meet some real cuties. Paxil, Prozac, Zoloft. Man, you gave me the hard words. Wellbutrin and Lexapro. I feel like I need to phone a friend. Are 10-ish weeks old, mixed with breed puppies. Their DNA test pending. Who we expect to be in the medium to large range once full grown. They are your typical puppies who like doing typical puppy things, which frankly I find quite annoying. But hey, at least they're cute, right? They are pretty cute from the pictures. As with all of our litters of puppies, we request you meet the litter and choose whomever is the best fit for you, and not cherry pick puppies based on their coat colors. So anyway, if you wish to meet them, you know the drill.
Okay, so these people hate puppies, but tend to have a lot of them, it looks like.
Yeah, and they're all antidepressant names.
Paxil, Prozac.
Oh, that's great. They're
although
cute,
Zoloft is kind of a cool name for a dog. Zoloft.
Yeah, I do like that one. That's great.
Some of them need Prozac, probably. I don't know.
Yeah. They're probably real chill.
Yeah. They are cute as a Dickens.
Yes.
There's some lab in there somewhere. I don't know. But they're all different. I think this is a very mixed litter right here. Very mixed. Yeah,
well,
a lot of daddies
sounds like
in this
we got,
one.
Yes. Got a wide range of drugs, so a wide range of puppies,
yep.
too.
Jennifer sent this one in from Ann Arbor area horse people. Anyone willing to trade a French bulldog for a horse trailer? I'm looking for a 3 or 4 horse trailer.
Oh.
Bummer pull. They forgot the bummer pull or gooseneck. Okay. I really want to know if anybody found somebody willing to trade a puppy for a horse trailer.
It's like, there's no comments on it yet, but my husband and I just bought a trailer, and I don't think I would trade it for a bulldog.
You would have got it, though, if you could have traded a puppy for it, though, right?
Yes, absolutely. Even if it was a bummer pool.
Do you do a lot great. Of, is trading still a big thing?
Well, I tell my husband he's the wheel and dealer because he finds a way to trade. I personally don't, but he's always trading something. A lot of it's pickups.
And your cows disappear a lot. They vanish, and then all of a sudden there's a four wheeler in the yard.
Better not. That's really questioning our marriage.
I think trading was bigger years ago, but yet we still get trading ads every week, and it's always one sided, like a bulldog for a four horse trailer.
Yeah. Yeah. It takes a special person to make that trade. Or a special bulldog, one of the two.
Cheryl sent this one in. It's our last one of the day, and it's a long one. Seeking a new zip code for Milk Dud. 7-year-old 14 two-hand Percheron X gelding. That's a little Percheron. Meet Milk Dud. He has the body of a workhorse and the face. I did not read this one ahead of time. He has the body of a workhorse and the face of a melted candle, all in pony size package. Trust me, photos don't do this horse justice. He looks much worse in person. He has allergies that were historically poorly managed, and now he has a wonky, floppy ears and scratches his mane and tail out every summer. I have a pony like that. His heart lives somewhere north of the Mason-Dixon line, but his body is stuck in Florida. Despite his unique aesthetic, he does have several good qualities. He has three of the four B's that make up the very best fox hunters. He's brave. He is a lovely brain, and he has excellent breaks. That's what you need in a fox hunter, those three.
Yes.
He is unfortunately not brown, but with everything else that he's dealing with, we can't really hold that against him. His ideal, really selling it here.
Yeah.
His ideal owner enjoys being outside of the arena. He's looking for the rider who wants to sit in the back of a third flight working on their second flask by 9:30. Okay, so for the people who haven't fox hunted, the third flight is the ones that don't do any jumping and pretty much just drink the entire time. They follow along. The rider who has always wanted a draft cross but no longer enjoys climbing ladders to mount their horse. Yeah, I've never seen a 14-hand Percheron, to be honest. This is the kind of horse that will keep up with the hunt but also will win the most likely to be eaten first if the herd is chased by an angry lion.
Are they wanting to keep him or get rid of him?
He sound barefoot, up to date on all the things, looks at calories, and they go straight to his hips. Stays fat on air. That is a Percheron. Middle management on the totem pole. He's not going to lead the pack, but he doesn't take any crap either. When you're that ugly, you have to use your fists sometimes. Riders in the photos are 5'8". If you wondered if he's too small for you, yes, he is. If you read all of this twice and have taken notes and you're still interested in coming to see if this four-legged tragedy is a good fit for you, please PM me. He is cute, though. He's not.
Milk Dud.
Look down. He's got it. Oh, we got a lot more ads coming. I missed those. He's white, pure white Percheron, very Percheron head. He is a huge head. He's cute.
Oh, I like Milk Dud. I'm not sure that they're wanting to get rid of Milk Dud.
He looks I don't think they know how to measure because he looks a lot bigger than 14 hands.
Yeah. Good looking horse.
Yeah. I don't know. I would consider Milk Dud. How much?
Me too.
They didn't say how much they wanted for Milk Dud. Hey, you know, we ought to call them and tell them that there probably is a French bulldog that they'd be willing to trade for their horse.
Yes.
Yes.
And you can get a trailer. We could line all these up.
Yeah, we should charge a fee and do that.
That would be a great add-in to the show.
I'm sorry, that wasn't the last one. Kelly sent this one in. It's our trailer of the week. It's our horse box of the week because Kelly lives in England. Horse box, 250 pounds, this is. Horse box, 250 pounds. Used horse box for sale. Buyer to collect. I think that means you have to come get it. Has been stored in bushes for many years and will need towing upon collection. You're also going to need a chainsaw to get it out of the trees.
This sounds like something you asked if my husband trades. This is, I feel like, the kind of thing
he
would trade for.
He'd bring
like,
his chainsaw along and cut it out of the trees.
And it's a diamond in the rough.
It's one of our famous two-horse trailers that's literally buried in the dirt up to the axles. Oh, my God. The whole dirt, the ground is up to the bottom of the trailer. Not only are you going to have to get a chainsaw to cut it out of the trees, you're going to need new wheels, too, because
yes. I married a welder, and his first thing would be, let's look at the floor and see if anything's going to fall through.
It's true. Yours is the kind of husband that would look at these, actually.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, that's great. Do we have time for some more?
Yeah, let's do a couple more.
Okay, this one's from Aaron from Zillow Gone Wild Facebook.
Oh, that's a fun one. I belong to that one.
Happy Sunday, zillionaires. $300,000 from Parkton, MD. Okay, do not enter the house under any conditions. It is occupied by feral cats and raccoons. How do they get along? Don't know. From what we know, there is an outhouse on the property. There is a stream or a spring that used to be for drinking water. Sounds a little sketchy. Yeah.
Down the street from a nuclear power plant.
They need to watch the Blackwater documentary.
Chemical contamination.
We have no information that indicates there is indoor plumbing, but where else can you get 5 acres on the Baltimore country land? Bring your vision and your money. Make sure you bring your money. Seller makes no representations or warranties to anything regarding this property. Buyer must take on responsibility for all tests, easements, research, man. And that comes along with cats and raccoons.
Now take a look at the picture down below. Oh my God, this looks like something out of a Stephen King movie.
Yeah, scary.
Oh, this is a horror movie house if I ever saw one. It's probably 1800s. But there has been nothing done. The trees have grown up around it. The wood looks like it's ready to crumble. They don't know if there's plumbing because nobody had the guts to go in this house.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly right.
I wouldn't go in this house. Oh, my God.
I wouldn't either. Definitely make sure you go mid-morning if you're going.
Get your tetanus shot for sure because you're going to need it. And then there's this 1970 station wagon out front, too, that is completely covered in moss. Oh, my God.
That's great.
You're definitely buying the land.
I would like to see who buys that. Yeah. But, man, look at all those trees. If you're in the cattle ranching business, I don't know if you're buying it for the land. But green
right,
grass.
We're going to end on Jessica.
Okay.
Okay, people, let's try this again. I am thoroughly convinced that the majority of the horse industry has exactly 3 brain cells left in their head. So I'm going to take this opportunity to address some abounding concerns. When I advertise a horse as needing a strong rider and not going to work for 12-year-old Sally, I get a plethora of unsolicited advice and unfounded assumptions. Some examples. Oh, this happens every time, too. Grace, Kelly and Megan think that I should just lunge him before getting on him. All I can say is, stupid me, why didn't I think of that myself? Debbie wonders if I've tried a mineral block. I did. It knocked him clean out. And gave him a concussion, so I don't think that was a good idea. Okay, that's pretty good. Kayla wonders if he'd be a good confidence booster. Absolutely. He'll either give you the confidence that you got this, or he'll make you confident that you'll never touch another horse again. Buy him and you decide.
Oh.
So what would he be good for? Your mother-in-law. Seriously, give that woman some credit. She did what you've never been able to do, and that's put the fear of God into your man.
That's great.
I like that one. And your man lives by him.
Poor guy.
Did she put the fear of God in him?
Oh, yeah. She's little and mighty.
See? All you cute and skinny cowgirls in between toxic boyfriends who just want to feel something, a match made in heaven.
That's great.
All joking aside, if you know what you're doing, this is a good opportunity to resale. You know what those good, stout geldings are bringing right now? He'd be a good one, yeah, as long as you train it and I don't. And yes, any and all questions are welcome. Names mentioned here are fictitious and always meant in fun, except the questions were real. You see these every time somebody's trying to sell that a horse that they say, this is meant for a strong rider. They always blame the person selling it, and it's always ulcers. Every time it's ulcers.
So. Poor horses. A lot of trauma there.
Yeah, it's true now. It's so hard to sell a horse and not get crap anymore. It really is. All right. Where can everybody find you, Kylie? You did it. You hosted your first show. Yay.
Well, Well, thanks. Yay. You can find me at Shop With Me Cowgirl on any social media platform.
There you go. Check her out. And if you're, especially coming up to the holidays, I assume you're going to be doing a lot of holiday stuff here coming
up. Oh, yeah. We've hit Q4. We're ready to rock and roll.
Okay, cool. So check out Kylie there. Thank you for filling in. I really appreciate it. Hopefully we'll see you at WESA in January.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Jamie will be back here on Monday, and we'll have a full week of shows for you. Thank you for tuning in this week. We really appreciate it. And we'll see you all next week. Be safe this weekend riding your horses.